evening, everyone. I'd like to call this evening's Board of Supervisors meeting to order. I also would like to let everyone in attendance know that we did have a public hearing at 6 o'clock for the conditional use application 2019-05 filed by Brian and Laura Holton regarding the property at 1625 East Chocolate Avenue. Please stand now and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chris, would you please do the roll call?
Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Court?
Here.
Supervisor Weir?
Here.
Supervisor Engel?
Here.
And Supervisor Moyer? Four present, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Christman. I just wanted to remind everyone in attendance that all public sessions of the Board of Supervisors are recorded for the purpose of creating accurate minutes, and speakers are asked to limit their comments to 3 minutes or less. When we do get to the public comment session in a moment, for those of you who have not been here in a while, I just wanted to remind you of a helpful device that we've put in place to help you sort of self-regulate when you're up at the podium. So when you start, except this has to be plugged in order for me to demo this. Hang on. Stay on the line. There we go. When you start, I'll turn this to green, and when you have 1 minute left, I'll turn it to yellow so you can kind of wrap up your comments in a thoughtful manner. And then when your time's up, I'll turn it to red. Again, nothing happens at that point other than I just respectfully ask you to sit down and wrap up your comments for the evening. So thank you for cooperating. It does help move the meeting along and also give everybody an opportunity to speak. With that, I will entertain public comment for this first session of public comment. We have two sessions, one at the beginning, one at the end of the meeting. So if anybody would like to approach the microphone, just give us your name and your address, and please try to limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, which I know Teresa knows well.
I'm Teresa Peschel, and I live at 48 Half Street, and I want to comment on two of the items that are on the agenda tonight. The first is in reference to the hotel. I do not have an objection to a hotel at that lot, but it is just too large. If they could make that hotel one-third smaller, I don't think they would get the objections that they are now. The other item I would like to comment on is I am so pleased to see the township is finally passing a shade tree ordinance. I think shade trees will do so much for the township in years to come. The best time to plant a tree was last year. The next best time is today. It is so important to put more trees in the township, and I am so glad that you all are finally doing this. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Anyone else?
My name is Jonathan Christ. I'm attorney at 226 West Chocolate. I'm here representing the AIS people who are adjacent to the proposed Downplace Suites Hotel. I would like to make three comments with regard to that hotel. One of which has to do with the proposed demolition of houses on Chocolate Avenue. I don't know if you've seen this. Some of you who were at the court board may have seen my presentation, but a lot of you were not. My people tried to buy the house next door to them at 554 West Chocolate when it came up for a realtor auction last year. They were outbid by the by the Bears Creek people. But there's been a lot of talk about whether or not the houses needed to come down and what shape they're in. And I've always said that a picture is worth a thousand words. So I got a bunch of pictures, which are many thousands of words. This is the house next door that my people tried to buy. And I thought everybody should see this. I don't know if you can get Zillow up or not, or are you gonna try and just get me the one on the township? I'm sorry. These are off the, these were the listing pictures for 554 West Chocolate adjacent to the property, one of the properties they wish to take down. These are the realtor photographs that appear on
realtor's website.
You want one of these?
Sure.
It is my position that this house is nothing wrong with this house. There are people living in it even today. These were the pictures that were on a realtor's website. This is what it looked like when my people went through it. And it certainly doesn't scream that it has to be taken down or gotten. Can you get the roundabout up? Can you do that?
So, Jonathan, I thought that you were looking at that during the presentation of the case.
Oh, I didn't know that.
During public comment, I think I need permission from the board to...
Just a few things. I know you always come with sort of support materials. Anything you can do in advance so that we can prepare? It's a little hard for Mr.
Are you going to have a separate hearing on the hotel? I thought you were just going to take a vote on it. I didn't know if you're going to actually have separate comment on the hotel. Are you going to have separate comment?
We're having public comment now and public comment at the end of the meeting.
So you're having a public comment separately for the hotel or not?
No.
All right, well, then I do need to be here. Everybody seen this? This is off your township website. All right? This is page 39 of the proposed What is Chocolate Avenue? Okay? If Chuck can find the thing on the website, everybody can look. This is the proposed roundabout. This was proposed, which is actually being put right in front of the six houses they want to tear down. In case you don't understand what this is all about, maybe you can share this.
Mr. President, in fairness to everyone else, and I am extending your time because of all the choreography here, but if you could please wrap up in the next 60 seconds, that would be very much appreciated.
What I want to show with everybody with this, if we can bring it up, is this is the neighborhood, and they've done a color photograph of the neighborhood. If you look here on this, the yellow is residences, the red is commercial, and the maroon is industrial. It's all yellow around this where they want to put the hotel. This is, you couldn't ask for a better illustration of what kind of neighborhood this is. It's right on your own website. The other item I would do, and this is just quick wrap up, my own calculations. The True Hotel is on 2.36 acres. The Fairfield is on 2.35 acres. The Marriott Suites out on the old Miller Chevrolet is on 1.815 acres. And the Days Inn is on 0.16 acres. And they want to put this whole hotel on 8/10 of an acre.
Thank you, Mr. Preston. Anyone else this evening?
Madam Chair, just want to make sure we'll be able to speak during the consideration of this project.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
This is just reserved for public comment.
Understood.
Hello. Steve Seidel, 450 West Granada Avenue, Hershey. I'll try to read from this just to keep it flowing. I'm going to speak about the new application that was filed. Excuse me, I have a little bit of a cold getting over. Filed by Bear Creek Hotel in April for the Town Place Suites on West Chocolate Avenue should not be approved for several reasons, and I'll go through those here quickly. First, the proposed hotel is just too much development for this small site. I think others have commented about that. I'll give you some specifics. I want to emphasize small site. The combined acreage is less than one-third the acreage of the nearby True and Fairfield hotels. This developer has tried every trick in the book, and some new ones, such as lift parking, to overbuild on this site. They are asking approval for a room count that's more than twice the density compared to True and Fairfield, and we already know how imposing those structures are on the community, and they're looking for twice that density in terms of room count per acre. Second, after much discussion at the April Design Review Board meeting and the May and September Planning Commission meetings, neither board recommended approval of this project. Both boards recognize there are just too many troublesome issues that haven't been fully addressed. These include, one, failure to meet the requirements for demolition of the existing structures. That's probably one of the most important ones. Secondly, safety, stability, and constructability concerns about the 10-foot high retaining wall that would run along the alley and along the neighboring AIS property. Number three, traffic congestion and flow into the surrounding residential area. from the constrained site that has not been thoroughly studied. 4, unprecedented use of lift parking to meet parking requirements. And 5, incomplete retention of stormwater runoff, for which they've asked for a waiver because of karst, which is sinkhole, essentially geology, which frankly, the presence of karst geology should be a warning sign to moderate development and the associated runoff to avoid formation of sinkholes rather than granting a waiver. So third, and lastly, earlier this year, you, township supervisors, rightly rejected the original plan. Certainly, it's obvious now that the original plan was rushed through the Design Review Board and the Planning Commission last year without appropriate review and understanding of the full impacts on the community. Fortunately, you, our township supervisors, realized there were issues with this plan that didn't meet township requirements and rejected it. The revised plan being presented tonight is not substantially different and should be rejected again. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Anyone else?
Linda Iyer, 2321 Raleigh Road. 52 weeks ago, I attended my first supervisors meeting. I've attended most of them since. We still have similar issues that the township is addressing. In the 52 weeks, we've had one failed attempt with the community center and several millions of dollars spent on that. We now have a proposed smaller community center at actually a slightly higher price tag than the original proposal. And there's still no real business plan that seems feasible for this. The residents of this township are still going to be supporting an operating deficit for the recreation community center, as well as paying all the debt service. And I find that unconscionable to the township residents and irresponsible by you.
Anyone else? Hearing none, we will move on to the next item on our agenda, which is the adoption of minutes from the Board of Supervisors meeting on September 24th, 2019. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
Sir.
Second by Mr. Zaluda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And I will abstain because I was not present. That motion carries. Next item on the agenda, under new business, 8-1 through 40, consideration of proposed demolition of existing structures and construction of a new hotel at 554 and 574 West Chocolate Avenue, Cushing, within the downtown Fort Irwin zoning district. Mr. Howard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The applicant proposed to demolish the existing dwellings and accessory structures on the properties at 554, 558, 562, 566, 570, and 574 West Chocolate Avenue, and construct a new five-story, 76-room townplace suites hotel. The proposed hotel is a permitted use within the zoning district. So within this agenda item this evening are two considerations. One is for demolition of existing buildings, and the other is for construction of a new building. Under Chapter 89, what Chapter 89 was really created for was to apply traditional neighborhood development characteristics to areas within the downtown core overlay. And we note within that ordinance that all buildings in the downtown should relate to and respect the continuity and character of existing block fronts and adjacent buildings that are such a strong determinant of the character of the overlay. And to promote this principle, Section 8912A first states that adaptive reuse of existing buildings shall be utilized to the greatest extent possible. When demolition is proposed, it is the burden of the applicant to demonstrate the feasibility of adaptive reuse by providing relevant information about the structures based on the following criteria. They must show that the structural integrity of the building is beyond repair or reuse, and as a result, the demolition of the existing building is in the best interest of public safety and welfare. The applicant should provide a structural engineer's report to demonstrate structural disrepair. The ordinance goes on to say that the desired general aesthetics and compatibility of design with surrounding uses would be more achievable with demolition of the existing structure and construction of a new dwelling. And finally, the ordinance states that the safety of vehicular and or pedestrian access to the building will be more achievable with construction of a new building. In this case, the applicant has noted in their narrative that they do not believe that item one is relevant since the structural integrity of the individual buildings is not beyond repair. Rather, they are attempting to find a way for adaptive reuse or continued use of the buildings, the applicant has chosen to demolish the structures. Looking to address item two, that demolition of the existing buildings or development of the new hotel will result in a condition where the safety of vehicular and or pedestrian access to the building will be more achievable with construction of a new building. They state that that each of the existing homes have a parking area that back onto South First Street, and they note that the hotel will only access Hillcrest Road and that the hotel customers will not access South First Street. Staff, HRG, and the Township Planning Commission have all questioned the statement about the tenants at the hotel using the alley. Generally speaking, the six residents would generate 60 average weekday trips. The applicant's traffic assessment anticipates over 10 times that amount of traffic from the hotel at 635 average weekday trips. Their narrative did not address any improvement in pedestrian access on Hillcrest Road or West Chocolate Avenue. To address item two, the applicant also notes that demolition of the six small houses and construction of a new hotel as permitted by zoning will be compatible with the overall general aesthetics and design of the applicable zoning and overlays. However, they offer no other statement to support that assertion. For their application for constructing the new building, they have provided some renderings that maybe to just refresh the board on the evolution of the renderings. I'll run through them quickly. This is a view looking from Chocolate Avenue. In a resubmission, the view that's up right now is the view that was originally submitted. In a resubmission, they've added a window along the front edge. It's really the change, and moved the sidewalk back for the beauty strip.
For the what?
For the beauty strip. And here, looking at the building, again, they've added some windows to the front and to the side to help break up the solid wall. Here again, they've added some windows and the beauty strip, as you can see, flipping back and forth through those renderings. The rendering I'm not talking about was the original submission. And here again, it's really adding in windows along that wall. The applicant has provided color renderings of the proposed hotel for the board's consideration. In and of itself, the building seems to have many of the design elements that are desired of a building under these regulations. The materials, texture, color palette, and articulation all seem in conformance with what is desired. The board needs to make a determination if, as noted in the demolition section of the report, the new building is designed to relate to and respect the continuity and character of the existing block fronts and adjacent buildings that are such a strong determinant of the character of the overlay. The site amenities were also subject to action by our design board, and those were approved. The design board also acts as a recommending board to the Board of Supervisors for demolition of existing structures. And in that case, when this came before the design board, April 29th of 2019, for demolition, initially a motion was made and seconded to deny the demolition. However, due to a split vote, the design board did not make any recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding approval or denial of the demolition. As far as the design of the new building, a motion was made to deny the design standards for the new building. That motion died for lack of a second. Thereafter, a motion was made and seconded to approve the new construction, but that motion was voted down by a vote of 2-4, resulting in no recommendation. So therefore, where the board is left is without receiving an extension of time from the applicant for the board to act on the application, action must be taken at tonight's meeting or the application will be deemed approved. Lack of an extension of time precludes the board's ability to table the application to allow the applicant to address any outstanding comments or concerns from the board. So if the board's satisfied with the applicant's reasoning for demolition, then the application should be granted. If, however, the board does not feel that the applicant has met their burden, the application should be denied. I'm going to recommend that the board take a separate motion on each of the items regarding demolition and new construction.
Yes, good evening. Thank you, Chairman of the Court. My name is Dave Guest, the attorney for the applicant. We have a team of folks here this evening, some of which will be available to discuss this matter, the others on the plan itself. First, Jim Snyder and Kenny Heinwald from HRG are here with me, as well as Mike Widener from Widener Construction, Jay States from Grove Miller, our traffic engineer, and Derek Skillings and Bill Hoy from Shaner, who will be operating the hotel with Jim Kwan, who is one of the principals of Bear Creek, too.
Sorry to stop you, but I think, is Kenny not with HRG? Perhaps he's with another firm?
No, he's with Snyder Sakari.
Okay, I think you
just... Sorry, I said...
That's right, I just wanted to make sure.
That was 10 years ago. Sorry.
I just saw some snickering, so I thought that probably yeah, wasn't right. I'm just getting right on that.
It's what I got for winging things that are writing all down. Let me start by saying that hotels are permitted to use by your ordinance. The plan that's currently under appeal in the court, we believe, met all the requirements of the township ordinances and should have been approved. We've now gone beyond the ordinance to give extra concessions that the township has requested. For example, we've reduced the room count by 10%. We've made further changes to engage the street. We're proposing widening of Hillcrest Road and South First Street. So we're doing things that we believe were not necessarily required, but were because of the action of the supervisors. I told the design board, and I need to put it here again on the record, we believe that Chapter 89 of your Township Code of Ordinances is not valid, and therefore the Downtown Core Design Board is not either. The municipality's planning code allows municipalities to put in its zoning ordinance certain criteria of what I'll call aesthetics when you're in a traditional neighborhood zoning district. Well, you don't have a traditional neighborhood zoning district, and Chapter 89 is in your code of ordinances, not in the MPC. So we don't believe that what's there is valid, but I wanted to put that on the record just so you're all aware of it. The design board did exactly what Chuck said, not reach decisions at the meeting. But I would like to point out that the design board met in December of 2018 on the prior plan, and they did recommend approval of demolition. They recommended approval of the design of the plan as it met the design elements. So we believe that plan.
I'll give you more questions. You have one.
Met all those requirements at that time. Of course, there's been some changes in membership to the design board since that time. But we believe that you do not have to have a building that's in such terrible disrepair that a structural engineer says it's ready to be condemned, which is really kind of what I think Chuck was saying and what your ordinance says. If we're relying on the condition of the property, which we're not, We're saying these buildings are not usable in their current condition. They cannot be used as commercial uses. They're six small homes. Some of them are on the setback line. They can't be expanded. There's no parking in the back to use for a commercial use. We think that all those things are reasons in favor of demolishing those buildings and replacing it with a hotel where the traffic will be directed away from South First Street, which is where all the traffic is right now coming out of those six homes. So we believe that the structure integrity is not the issue. It's the fact that the buildings are past their useful life. They're ADA issues. If you would try to expand them, you'd have to somehow fit an elevator in there. All those things that really cannot be done. Plus, there's really no use for six small commercial buildings of that sort. And so we believe that this is a much better way to use this property. And the folks that have compiled these properties over the years, that's exactly why they have come up with them. Jim, would you like to add to that?
Sure. Good evening. Jim Snyder from Snyder Security Associates, County Attorney. I would be willing to go into as much detail as you'd like relative to the application, or as little detail. I think Chuck covered the salient points, but perhaps we could walk through the graphics just for the board's benefit of what was submitted both to the design downtown design board as well as the basis of the land development plan that is next on your agenda. So Chuck, could I start with maybe the existing conditions plan? Do you know why? Okay, just by way of background, I think you're very familiar with the site clearly, but the properties there at West Chaplin Avenue, the subject six properties are to be consolidated into one building lot. The total property is about 0.8 acres. It's zoned Hershey mixed use in the downtown overlay district. So the project is to consolidate the lots to develop one hotel of 76 rooms, five stories, 60 feet tall. And go ahead to the next slide, please. The rendering perhaps. There you go. Let the plan rendering, please. There we go. Oh. Okay, thanks. So this rendering is a depiction of the building on the property, parking behind the site and under the building. So we're utilizing the entire property for that development. Again, it's a 76-room hotel, which was, as Dave mentioned, it's been reduced by approximately 10% from the prior plan. This plan also has addressed some of the waivers before that were of concern, namely widening and curving on Hillcrest, additional right-of-way dedication, and pavement widening along the South First Street, the alleyway behind it, additional landscaping between the alleyway and the site, and some other embellishments on the property. And then you put to the elevations. Chuck had these up earlier, but again, this is really just the elevation view of the building, depicting the various materials, articulations in the building, and so forth, that have been reviewed by the Design Review Board. I think there was some discussion about the site elements. That was unanimously approved by the board relative to the items that are required by the ordinance as well. That is the basis then moving forward to the land development plan that is before you, but talk about that very briefly. So that plan has been amended as well to reflect the items that I had just discussed, in addition to the submission of traffic studies, stormwater management reports, and so forth. Plan has been reviewed by township staff, has been supported by township staff. We believe that we've addressed all of the relevant comments that have come from staff and made those resubmissions accordingly. The plan also carries
four relatively minor waivers that staff has supported in this memo to the Planning Commission. Yes?
We're on the demolition. I don't know if you want to get into the waivers.
No, I won't get into them in detail. We can wait to the next plan. I'm just indicating that the land development plan that this plan is based on has a few waivers with it. We can talk about that at the next agenda item. So that's in addition to what David mentioned. That's kind of a general overview. We're certainly available for comments and questions. Additional individuals here from our traffic engineer, architect, contractor, etc.
So I think for the first portion, we're just going to take the demolition.
So
we are, yeah.
Yeah, chapter 89.
And I don't know, Jim, if you want to answer this or somebody else from your team wants to, but one of the criteria deals with traffic as it relates to demolition. Can you or someone else explain how this property, this building, would actually make pedestrian and vehicle traffic better than what it is right now?
Sure. So the condition that exists right now is six homes, garages in the back, and six driveways that exit onto a narrower alleyway that we're proposing. So under our plan, we're proposing no access to the rear street. In consolidating these lots, we'll be developing a controlled access driveway onto Hillcrest at one location. So in that respect, we think that by eliminating the backing in and out of cars from the alleyway and directing cars to Hillcrest and to the wider public streets, that's certainly much more favorable than what currently exists now. The plan also proposes the construction of new sidewalks, a new 8-foot sidewalk across the frontage of the property on West Chocolate. That's a requirement of the downtown core requirements. We're also installing a 5-foot sidewalk, a widened road condition, curbed roadway condition along Hillcrest. We're also improving the alleyway. That was the basis of one of our waivers before. The amended plan takes that waiver off the table, and now we've widened the alleyway, provided additional right-of-way dedication along that roadway. So we think from a pedestrian and a vehicular standpoint, this represents a better condition for the developed site. There's also connections from the front sidewalk through the building, so it ties the parking, the use to the main street, and also to Hillcrest.
And could you, with the pointer, show how traffic comes in and comes out of the property?
We have a driveway at this location, meeting township requirements. It's a 24-foot wide driveway off of Hillcrest. So all traffic would enter and exit the property from one controlled location. Parking lot meets township requirements. That circulates internally, either in the back or under the building and back out, so there's full circulation for access to the parking spaces and to the use. And then from the driveway, traffic would disperse, to the adjacent roadway network from there. I do have to say that this use generates very little traffic. So the traffic study that we've submitted indicates low to mid 40s in terms of vehicles per peak hour, AM or PM, contrasted to the True Hotel, which was just built and our firm did as well, that generates 1.5 times that. And that still didn't reach the level of requiring a traffic impact study. So very low traffic, distributing that traffic in multiple directions is not a concern.
And you believe you can keep the patrons from coming out on the First Street?
Well, I think we can by one communication the hotel can tell their patrons the desired way to get around town, so to speak. First Street's a small alley. It's not even, I don't think it's signed. So intuitively, I think people would tend to avoid that. As opposed to now, the the residents are using it routinely, and adjacent businesses are using it, and I mean, that's what alleys are for, to drive on. So even though we're widening it, I think that there'll be very little traffic utilizing that roadway, whereas, you know, just 100 feet or a few hundred feet back into West Caracas, I believe it is, which is a, you know, much wider, more inviting roadway that you know, patrons would use. And if you look at the distribution of that traffic, very low. We're talking about 40 to 46 peak hour traffic for the entire hotel. I think distribution-wise, we're talking about 9 vehicles that are going to or from, or 40% of that traffic to and from the east. So again, it's extremely low traffic.
Sorry, I promise I'll let everybody else ask questions in a second. Just as a quick follow-up, Chuck, at the Planning Commission meeting September 3rd, wasn't that an outstanding issue that the commission had asked for a little bit more information? How did that get resolved? And Kurt, maybe you could answer on behalf of HRG. I mean, are we still missing something there?
On behalf of HRG, I'm going to pass the mic to Eric. But basically, they did some studies with Waze or with the GPS systems that tends to throw people down the alley for a few minutes quicker. I'll pass the mic.
I'll agree with most of what Jim stated in that overall it's a relatively low traffic generator, you know, compared to some other hotels, some other land uses. And I think the overall impact on the roadways or surrounding intersections from a capacity standpoint is fairly minimal based on the low number of peak hour trips. Really the concern was how much traffic's going to be on, you know, added to South First Street, and as low as that alley, or as narrow as that alley is, can it really accommodate that traffic safely compared to what's there now? I think in the, so they provided a traffic assessment that summarized, you know, the overall anticipated impact, and really with the flyer that Jim referenced that they'd be sending out to the guests, directing them how to come to the hotel from the east, from the west, so on and so forth, and leaving the hotel. They're suggesting that traffic won't be utilizing South First Street, that they'll be entirely utilizing that postcard or flyer that they distribute to their guests. Just as a, you know, check that. Now we're dealing with this on a number of different issues, a number of different municipalities, that people are becoming very, very reliant on Waze or Google Maps or some other app on their phone that's telling them how to get around it, not necessarily a piece of paper, a map, or you know, conventional, you look at an alley that's narrow, I'm gonna go to the next street, they're trusting their phone more and more. So we looked at, you know, how would traffic come in and out if they were using a Google Maps, for instance, so we just took that app. And coming to the location of the driveway, Google Maps routes you along South First Street if you're coming from the east to enter, has you turning down Orchard onto South First Street, or if you're leaving to go towards the west, again, it would take you down South First Street to Orchard in order to access 422. You know, not necessarily, you know, out towards Hockersville Road or one of the other routes that you could use Caracas to avoid First Street. So I think our feel is that while the flyer may deter some traffic from using First Street, there's still going to be an increase compared to what's there now, and really looking for, you know, an assessment to confirm that alleyway can accommodate that increased traffic safely with the, you know, potential increased occurrence of having two-way traffic on an alley that varies in width from 15 to 18 feet. Or, you know, maybe it makes sense to have a one-way restriction on the alley or some other treatment there to make sure it does work safe in the future.
So we've definitely gotten into the second item on the agenda. We need to focus more on the demolition.
Yes, I was going to ask you about the traffic because it's one of the criteria of the demolition relates to improvements to the pedestrian and the...
Yeah, to some extent, but it's... So Eric, So it says that the criteria is that the safety of vehicular and or pedestrian access to the building will be more achievable. I don't really, I totally understand what that means, but I don't think it's unsafe now. In other words, it's talking about the safety of vehicular and or pedestrian access. Is there anything unsafe about the sites right now? I don't think so. Is there?
Can I just add a point? I'm not sure that's compared to doing nothing.
Right. All I can do is read that sentence and try to interpret
it. Well, you do have people in those six homes backing onto First Street because they're pulling straight in, or they're pulling into garages on the front. So they're backing onto a street. Mm-hmm. We would submit this is a much safer traffic movement than backing onto an alley.
Fair point. I don't know that it's unsafe. It's done lots of places, but I don't know that it's an unsafe situation.
Let me just also add that, again, back to the traffic discussion, we were talking about 9 peak hour trips. It's virtually nothing. 9 peak hour trips from the east, potentially using the alleyway. That's assuming that 100% of drivers do that. I would argue that it would be some percentage of that. What we haven't netted off of that is what uses the alleyway now. So each of those homes, although they're generating maybe, you know, 10 peak hour trips themselves, some of those occur at the AM and the PM peak hour. So maybe one each, or nearly one each. So you'd have to take off of that number, that 9 number, what goes there now, so 4 or 5. So really, you're talking about what you can count on one hand that might use the alleyway. I think the issue is kind of maybe being a little bit taken out of proportion.
Anybody else is welcome to chime in. I'll jump to the first type. So there's 3 criteria for demolition. The first one is that the structural integrity of the building is beyond repair or reuse. Is there evidence for that?
Well, that's a good point. And I think, you know, that has been asked and answered several times. And our position is that if you read the ordinance specifically, it says relevant information. So that is not relevant information. In fact, even in our application, we've stipulated that we're not relying on the structural disrepair of those units for being the basis of this.
I don't follow that, Jim. It says that it should be.
No, it doesn't. It says, if you read the first portion of that requirement, it says relevant information below.
Adaptive reuse by providing relevant information about the structure based on the following criteria.
Right, so the first point is not relevant in our opinion. So in other words, in order to use your argument, a building would have to be falling down in order for you to redevelop the site.
If I could chime in, because I asked this same question right today, I was curious if all 3 of these things were conjoined and we had to have met all the criteria, or if it could just be 1 or 2 of them. And the answer, I believe, was that they are not conjoined, that they don't have to meet all 3.
I would point out that 3 times in the last couple of years, this board has determined that a building could be demolished without there being a structural engineer's report. The minutes of the downtown design board and the supervisors from February 26th, this has to do with the True Hotel. There was no information submitted about a structural engineer's report on that project.
Dave, I appreciate that, but we're talking about Town Place Suites.
I understand, but what I'm saying is that a structural engineer's report is not required and has not been required by this board in the past, and we're just saying that should be the decision that's made in this one also.
Okay.
So there was a house demolished at 102 Reese Avenue. It was approved by the design board in November of 2018 and this board in December of 2018. Yeah. There was nothing about the structural integrity of the building on that one either.
Okay, so I just want to be clear that the chapter 89 talks about structural integrity of the building is beyond repair or reuse, and your response to that is that's not relevant. Is that true?
That is not relevant in this application. That's correct. And I will say that when we submitted this hotel the first time, that was not a criteria also by the design board or this board
It wasn't until the denial letter that anybody mentioned that the structural, that there was not a, that we had not demonstrated with the structural engineer's report. But that has not been required in the past, was not even required on the project the last time you considered it.
And Dave, just to add that the design review board approved the demolition unanimously based on that first application without the structural engineer's report.
Correct.
Right, so that's an advising board, right? So, next item.
Hold on a second. I disagree with Dave, so because I know I brought it up at that discussion. In fact, I remember asking Chuck if you guys had submitted a structural engineering report, and the answer was no. And the conversation didn't go any further than that, but I wish it would have. Because as you read the ordinance, and I know what you guys feel about the ordinance, but this is what we have to go on. It specifically says shall provide.
Now, it says shall provide where relevant.
No, it says shall provide a structural engineer's report to demonstrate structural disrepair.
I think if you go to A, part A above that is where the relevancy exists.
So here it says, and I'll ask our solicitor to clarify, when demolition is proposed, it is the burden of the applicant to demonstrate the infeasibility of adaptive reuse by providing relevant information about the structure or structures based on the following criteria. And then it lists the three elements. The first one that Mr. Engel already read. The second one, that the desired general aesthetics and compatibility of design with surrounding uses would be more achievable with demolition of the existing structure or construction of the new building. And thirdly, that the safety of vehicular and or pedestrian access to the building would be more achievable with construction of a new building, which is what Mr. Emmerich read before. So does this mean that the relevant information, Mr. Yost, could be any of these three? It doesn't have to be all of these three.
Tell you the truth, I'm not sure. Something we're going to have to discuss at some point in time. But, I can't give you an answer off the top of my head. It's always been my impression that they needed to be all of them.
And I suppose it was my understanding they didn't have to be all met, that they were not conjoined, that it was up to the board to determine if demolition was warranted based on any of the criteria.
And I agree with you, of course.
I'm not saying that because I agree with you.
I understand that.
I'm trying to do the right thing and follow the rules here.
And Mr. Zamuda, if that was mentioned at that last meeting, I apologize because I looked through the minutes in my notes and didn't see it.
It was just a very short statement and
I may have missed it.
It kind of died. I don't think we were concentrating on that particular aspect.
Right. As Mr. Snyder said, though, if you must demonstrate all three, then you will not have any redevelopment unless you have a village ready to be condemned. I don't think that's what the ordinance wants. I think you want to be development of the redevelopment of the downtown area. And if the building has to be in structural disrepair, which means about ready to issue a condemnation order, then you're not going to have redevelopment. If every building must be compatible with everyone next to it, you're never going to have the first building of redevelopment. Something's got to be first.
I would offer, I'm not advocating for anything, I'm just trying to look, even though some recent past demolition projects have not been the same as this, I don't believe we made sure that they met all three criteria on the list. I mean, I know it's not apples to apples, but I do believe that all three were not potentially met.
Yeah, and again, we're here to talk about Town Blake Suites, I was around part of the whole planning process, as many of us were, that drafted this ordinance. So I think that I remember pretty clearly what our intent was. I read this pretty clearly, that you have to meet these three criteria and that you have to provide relevant information regarding those three criteria. So in the best interest of public safety, is this in the best interest of public safety to demolish these structures? I mean, that's what the ordinance says. Do you have an argument for why it's in the best interest of public safety?
Hmm.
Well, I think that, I mean, when you look at the redevelopment of the property, which your ordinance anticipates, contemplates, for the uses that are permitted, there's some criteria that we have to go through. Obviously, the submission of the downtown core review, and I think we've demonstrated that our proposal is in the best interest of the public. When you look at all of the factors, such as pedestrian, vehicular, aesthetics, and, you know, that those are the relevant points. And our position is that the structural disrepair of a building is not relevant in this case because those structures are sound. They were being used as rental properties. The township has not condemned them. If you got a structural engineer to, he's not going to tell you that they're in disrepair when they're not in disrepair. And so that information is not relevant. What's relevant is, could you use them for some other use in the zoning ordinance, commercial or otherwise? And we've argued that no, you can't reuse those properties because one, they're too small. They would never meet accessibility. They would never meet parking and access. They would never meet the energy code. All of those factors point to it makes sense to redevelop these properties in total. We have an opportunity to have six of them side by side, so we can have some of that land mass to be able to develop it according to what the ordinance contemplates.
Okay. And Rick, you had brought this up, but so there, still under number one, the applicant shall provide a structural engineer's report to demonstrate. So that's something that you don't plan to supply.
Not relevant, no. Okay. I think again, you've reported that many times, verbally, our application and narratives that we've submitted to the downtown court, either with the first application, where demolition was recommended, or with the second one.
Right. You've what, many times?
We've reported that either verbally or in our application.
You won't be submitting that report.
I'm sorry?
The application that we submitted
contains our position on that.
Okay. So that you will not be supplying a report?
A structural engineer's report?
Right, correct.
That is correct.
Okay.
Because that is not a reason that you are using to seek approval of demolition.
That's exactly correct.
So the second item, that the desired general aesthetics and compatibility of design with surrounding uses will be more achievable with demolition of the existing structure and construction of a new building. Are you arguing that the hotel will be more compliant, will be more, from a form base, will be more similar to the surrounding buildings than what is there now?
Absolutely. And I think we've submitted the requisite information to the design board in terms of the architectural design of that building, proportions, scale, materials, so that that is aesthetically more pleasing and more functional than what's there now.
So where on that, I'm having trouble seeing where that form of the new building is consistent with the structures around it. I see houses around it.
Well, there's a church directly across the street. There's a church a half a block back.
Commercial building. There's another hotel right up the street. So this is typical of redevelopment. If you have a changing use, it's not going to remain residential for very small homes on very small properties. So it's a different land use, but one that's contemplated in the ordinance. It's permitted. We're a use by right.
I don't think, I'm not talking about use. Number two, I think it's talking about form.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about form.
Right. So we've submitted all of the information to the design review board in terms of the design of the property, the aesthetics, and so forth. Okay. We've met the design standards in terms of the streetscape, engaging the street, all of the design elements that are required in the ordinance. So I do believe we've met that.
I might add that we're across the street from church. There's a church on the other end of the block. Staples is a half block, another block down. The True Hotel is a block behind it. When you have redevelopment, it's got to start someplace. And if the only criteria is, does the redevelopment look exactly like what's next door, then what would this commercial building next door ours? So at some point, you have to, if you want redevelopment, which the ordinance, which your township is encouraging, and you're telling landowners, we want you to redevelop your property, then it's got to start someplace.
Within reason. Within reason.
We believe this within reason and within your ordinance.
And we don't have a form-based code, but what I'm going to is form, and you know form-based code as well as I do. And so within reason, you don't build a skyscraper next to a single-family residence. I get your point, but it's, I'm having trouble seeing how that, basically I have to go back to Chapter 89. I have a hard time seeing how that is more compatible in design with surrounding uses than what's currently there.
Well, just look at the picture up there. And take a look at that. All short or houses that aren't very high. The church isn't very high. The church is standing on a hill. I don't think it's as high as that. Neither of the churches are. But just in that picture, aesthetically, it's not in keeping with the residential houses around there.
But your township made a determination that this is a permitted use. And that is in your zoning ordinance, it's permitted use. And that is really what governs.
Dave, this is about demolition. This is not about use. That's the next item. And this is about form. This is about demolition.
Yeah.
I understand that.
I'm not seeing where use is relevant.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Why demolish six houses that are in keeping with the neighborhood?
Mr. Weir, I would respond to that by saying that something has to be the first property to be redeveloped. And under your zoning ordinance, this is the first one on this street. Of course, there was the True Hotel a couple blocks away that was before this that also redeveloped an existing property, and the board supported that.
But I think that was a different situation, too. It was an industrial site. And again, we're talking about demolishing these six buildings. We're not talking about the True Hotel or what we did in the past. We're talking about demolishing these six structures right now.
Thanks for your patience. Oh, and at 8 o'clock, we'll be back at 8 o'clock.